Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hands are amazing instruments. When our hands are working properly, they showcase the amazing feat of the Lord's engineering, capable of an intricate series of movements made possible by articulating joints between 27 bones and more than 30 muscles that move them. Even seemingly simple movements can be quite complex. Recent research has determined that the fastest accelerating part of the human body is not the blink of an eye, but it's the snapping of your finger, which is actually 20 times faster, taking just 7 milliseconds to travel from the thumb to the palm. Our hands are truly amazing. Our hands can do so much. We use them for work, for sports, for crafts, and for countless little tasks each and every day. In fact, our hands are almost universally recognized as symbols of work, action, power, and control. The hands' controlling capabilities, their powerful potential, and their authoritative actions are not governed by the hands themselves. These gifts, which are ours by way of these instruments of the human body, ultimately flow out of the heart. We know too often how these gifts of the Lord can be used to either give or take, build or break. Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, elaborates on the work of our hands. He says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let the left hand know what your right hand is doing." This teaching was part of his Sermon on the Mount. So before we can tackle this text, we have to go back to the beginning of this famous sermon in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is addressing his disciples while a great crowd stands by overhearing. He begins by saying to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus' disciples are poor in spirit, for they have nothing of themselves to offer to their God. They have only empty hands. However, the Lord in his mercy has filled those hands with his good gifts. The same is true for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You came here with nothing to bring before God to merit his blessings because of your sin. And yet, your Lord Jesus Christ has exchanged that sin, taking it to the cross, and he has now filled your hands with his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have this promise. It is completely dependent on your gracious and merciful Lord. In him, your hands are full. And so in today's text, Jesus says to his disciples, "When you give to the needy," notice that it is not a question of whether Jesus' disciples will be using their hands to help the needy or to do good for the sake of the poor. On the one hand, it was already an expectation among the Jews that almsgiving would be done. On the other hand, regarding what Jesus is giving you, empty hands that have been filled with the gospel, they simply will share both the gifts of creation and salvation with other empty, outstretched hands. While it is true that one does not need to be a Christian to give earthly gifts to the needy, Jesus is saying that the heart of the Christian life of giving is something altogether different. And he is using very poignant language to do so. For Jesus contrasts his followers with the hypocrites who trumpet their deeds before the synagogue and before the streets. They give to others only so that everyone else will see them and praise them for their good deeds. They seek the rewards of the world because they close their hands to God's gifts and his promises. Nobody likes a braggart. We know all too well what it means to seek the praises of this world. We know it when we see it in people who love to trumpet their success so as to hold the rewards or their praises before the world like a trophy in their hands, saying, "Look at all the good that I have done." If we are honest, we see that very same desire in ourselves. But we know that those rewards do not last. Jesus' words cut to the heart of the matter. It's one thing to sound the trumpet to let others know what you are doing, but do not think for a moment that keeping your good deeds to yourself excludes you from sin. Jesus continues, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." On the one hand, the moment that we start to dwell on what our hands are doing, we take the focus off of our neighbor and his or her needs in order to make our giving all about ourselves. Our neighbor, then, is no longer best served. And then on the other hand, there is the greater spiritual concern. Our sinful condition has so distorted our lives that we can outwardly appear humble, keeping our giving to ourselves, but still inward be brimming full of arrogant pride at the work of our hands. It may not look like the praise of others, but it is instead the praise of self. And just like that which preceded it, this reward too also fades. Closing our hands to God's gifts in order to quietly praise ourselves leads us to the same place as those hypocrites Jesus mentioned. He shows us that our sin is much worse than what we do or do not do with our hands. Even anonymously giving to the needy can be distorted by sin into selfish praise and pride. The real problem, then, is not a hand issue, but a heart issue. Jesus says, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." This condition of the heart puts us in the throes of judgment and death. That is what we are reminded of today on Ash Wednesday. As you received the ashes on your forehead, you heard the words, "Remember, O sinner, that you are dust, and to dust will you return." We die because our hearts are sick with sin. If our lives were left in our own hands, amazing instruments though they might be, the only reward that we will have earned is God's judgment and wrath. However, today we also heard the words of the prophet Joel, when he said to God's people Israel, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments." The recognition of sin is not merely something that we can take into our hands by an outward display of contrition. The Lord is calling sinners to true repentance. That is, repentance of the heart. David knew this condition well. He wrote about it in Psalm 51 when he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David knew that he could not heal himself by the work of his own hands. He needed the hand of the Lord. He needed the expert physician, who is able to create a clean heart, to blot out his iniquities, and to restore the joy of the Lord's salvation. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but rather those who are sick." If you are like David, and you know that your heart is not well, then you, dear friends, are invited to hear the words of your Lord Jesus. He has come for you as the only one who can cure this sinful disease of the heart. He has come as the great physician who is able to give you a new heart and to make it beat in his expert hands according to the rhythm of God's mercy. He continues to give and to hold your heart securely in his hands. And how is it that Jesus so loves you that he creates a new heart within you? He is not only your great physician, he is the Lord who has come to bring you life in him. He does this by the work of his hands, purely out of love for you. He has given his very life for you. His right hand and his left hand were stretched far apart upon the cross for your sake, his death for your life. And the sins of your hands and your heart he bore in his body at his crucifixion. God has taken your sin, and he has put it out of his memory. Your sin is now as far from you as the east is from the west. In return, he has filled your empty hands with his forgiveness. He has taken care of not only the sinful deeds of your hands, but also the condition that lies at your heart. In so doing, he has created a new heart within you. He has given you a heart that does not need to remark on what your hands are doing, for Christ has already done it all in your stead. With this new heart, you may rejoice that your empty hands have been filled with God's good gifts and are not concerned with rewards of praises from the world or from your neighbors or even from yourselves. Your reward is from your Father who sees in secret. And now, as you live your life, as you give to the needy, as you share the gospel of Jesus with others, keep your right hand and your left hand ignorant of each other in daily repentance. Your giving is the Lord's work through you. Remember that there is no need to gain the rewards of this life through the works of your hands, because you already have a reward far more precious than anything that you could ever work or merit for yourself. Indeed, remember that you are dust, and to dust will you return. With these words, you receive the sign of the cross pressed upon your brow this evening as a reminder that your life has been marked and sealed by the redeeming hand of your crucified and risen Lord. And soon, as you come to this altar again with empty hands outstretched, the Lord will again fill them with his very body and blood, given and shed for you. In his most merciful name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.